Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettillier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Christian Garrick has the day off today. Bobby J. Made it official. Brian Kelly, new head football coach at LSU today. I think trying to quickly piece together a staff, and he sort of hinted around to the fact that he may coach in a bowl game. Interesting on Kelly's part, but I think it's, you know, imperative that he get a staff quickly. I think the new signing date has just made this really tough if you're going to move around. So you can see now why guys like Kelly, Lincoln Riley, they're going to be scrambling. And, man, listen, Oklahoma and Notre Dame can't wait too much longer. They got to piece together something fast, too, because that signing day is right around the corner.
Yeah, Mike, it's just around the corner.
All right, Bobby.
Yeah, just I'm on now. It's just around the corner, and you know, Brian Kelly had to come to LSU because you talk about that December and the signing day, and you're trying to get players. And I think he really acknowledges the significance of his coordinators. I think he thinks they're that good. Now, it'd be interesting to see. You know, he said he's reached out to offensive coordinator Tommy Reese, also defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman, to join him at LSU. Boy, if he could pull that off, I think that'd be a great get.
Anyway, I'd be happy with one of the two.
Yeah, it'd help you sooner rather than later.
Yep.
To bring some kind of stability where you're at. Now, I'm looking at my understanding that Tommy Reese, LSU offered like $400,000 more than the Fighting Irish would offer him. To stay in South Bend. If you look at Reese, he had played, the only thing he played quarterback at Notre Dame from 2010 to 13. So is there some loyalty there? I would say there's loyalty in the paycheck when I break it down. But and then you look at Mike, a name that's maybe more familiar from a national perspective, Marcus Freeman. We all know defensive coordinator of Cincinnati from 17 to 20. He was targeted by LSU's. Remember, Coach O was after him last year, but then he left and he went to Notre Dame instead. You know, he had played linebacker at Ohio State. So I think money's going to do the talking. But, you know, if you look at it, Mike, he was, what, the Broyles Award finalist in his final year as defensive coordinator for the Bearcats in Cincinnati. And this caught my attention. He finished the season number 13 at Cincinnati in total defense in the country and eighth in scoring defense. So, you know, this day and age, how the ball spread around, if you in the top 20, like a scoring defense, if you prolific and you could and I think that's where, if you look at Brian Kelly, more offensive guy. So if he can have a defensive coach and, Mike, that, like, total defense in the top 20, a scoring defense – that's why I think you look at a guy like Freeman, who's so enticing. Now, he might have an opportunity to be a head coach, so that'll be interesting to see how that's going to unfold. But
and how it breaks down after this weekend.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a lot of rumors out of South Bend that and listen, it's hard. I understand with Marcus, he's never really been a head coach, that Notre Dame would be your first job.
That's a lot of responsibility.
That's a lot. That's why, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at Luke Fickell from Cincinnati as the guy, and then Marcus would basically go to Cincinnati,
right.
So to speak. So it's going to be an interesting kind of chess play across the board it's done.
Well, do you say money would do the talking? I guess what would be Cincinnati willing to pay you as a head
coach? Come on, they can't match what Notre Dame can play.
But no, okay, what I'm saying, though, if you're looking into the future and how you're trying to climb the ladder in your career, would you, and I think money would come into play, would you be willing to come to LSU as a defensive coordinator and you have that most success, then you could parlay that versus going to Cincinnati?
No, I'll go to Cincinnati as the head coach.
And be a head coach.
Okay? I want to be the head coach, and I'll go to Cincinnati at that point. To me, that's an easy call.
Because, Mike, right now, I don't know, but what would be Brian Kelly said that he intends to make Freeman the highest-paid defensive coordinator in college football. So what is that $2.5 million, somewhere around there?
I mean, the only thing is, you in charge. I never forget Dave Aranda telling me this about being a defensive coordinator and being a head coach. He said, Mike, the big thing is money, you know, is always going to be there at this stage. He says, you see it all across college football. But he said, my opportunity to pick my own staff, to have my own people around me, is really important, because I think that has a big part of success.
It's a team sport. Come on.
And you got to have those other people around you. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back to Ryan Harvett right here on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. On the line now is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvat. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to the data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Guys, thanks so much for having me, and I'm honored because I come into my favorite song, my favorite bumper music right there, and I've heard that Coach O's favorite song right there as well, right? Am I correct on that?
It's one of the top ones for
him. Yeah, well, we all grew up in the 70s, yeah. So how do you don't love Led Zeppelin? Come on. That's a slam dunk.
Ryan,
Exactly.
Your feelings on Thursday night, Bob and I have talked about this the last two meetings, 13-10, 12-10. If you're going to place a bet, man, it would seem to be the under. The Saints still hurting. You look at the two tackles, man, really questionable for this game. Who knows with Alvin Kamara, Marcus Davenport not playing. The Cowboys seem to be in pretty good shape overall for this late in the year. To me, you know, you look at how the last couple games have kind of went down. It's been low scoring. The Saints have had trouble scoring. Taysom Hill's not going to put his hands on this team, and all of a sudden they're going to be scoring 45 points. So your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I did play I played the Saints in this game, you know. And if you look at it, I'm really hoping, obviously, Kamara is able to go in this spot. And he looks like himself. But like you said, you know, you get Taysom Hill back. And the passing game has been weak. I don't have to tell you guys that. 27th in the league, only 198 yards per game. 19th in rushing offense. And that's what made last week so hard to watch, you know, against the Bills, when you were only able to average 1.8 yards per pop on 25 carries. You know, you were just not able to run the ball, and so it was a tough watch. I do like them better this week. With Dallas, you know, I know Dallas has been dealing with some stuff. Dak's been injured. Now Mike McCarthy's dealing with COVID. They've had some COVID situations with Amari Cooper. Still, I don't really think they have any excuses for the way they've performed the last couple of weeks. I look at this as almost a must-win spot for the Saints, and even though it's tough to back them after what we saw the last couple of weeks offensively, I think they'll make some adjustments defensively. I think the under is the play, but I'm going to take the points with the Saints here in this spot. I think that they're going to play some good football, and I think this will be a nice bounce-back spot. If they do lose the game, I think it's a field goal game, and I think more money is going to come in on Dallas. They're a very public
team.
Oh,
no question.
As we know, they're America's team. So if you hold off, you might even be able to get yourself a six and a half or a touchdown. I would maybe hold off. You're definitely not going to get the worst of the number, even if Kamara is a full go.
Now, Ryan, when you look at Dak Prescott, I'm a Dak Prescott fan, Houghton, Louisiana. He goes to Mississippi State, and he's recorded 7 games with a passer rating of 100 or more in 2021, tied with Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins for the most in the NFL. But as of late, It seems like, and I'm looking at their third down percentage, and I've been able to really sustain drives. So what do you think? Now, I know the Saints have lost four in a row, but Dallas has lost three or four. What is your take on that?
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what I go back and I look at. So I used to be obsessed when I would go back and I'd watch games on what teams did on first down, you know, and it would drive me nuts when teams would consistently run the ball on first downs, or if teams were consistently, you know, doing certain things that would just drive me nuts. Now it's all about third down, and that's why I've been so low, or I wasn't as high as everybody else on the Chargers this season, you know, because if you look at their early success, some of those games, Justin Herbert was great on third and eight, third and nine. It's so hard to sustain that for an entire season. And with Dak, as good as Dak's been, you guys, you know, look at his numbers, 22 touchdown passes, just seven picks. Here's been the difference. He's been sacked 17 times for 100 yards and losses. You know what I mean? Like, he's constantly under pressure, and now Zeke's been banged up a little bit, so the run game hasn't been there. I think it's been a protection issue. Also, he's been without some weapons, you know, which you really can't make excuses, because even when Amari Cooper's out, you know, you have a CeeDee Lamb, and even if a CeeDee Lamb's out, you have a Michael Gallup. They're stacked there. But I just think it's been a little bit of everything, you know, the COVID situation, the injuries. And for me, like, what I watch with the struggles has just been him constantly trying to make plays. He's under pressure. And I feel like, you know, kind of like Mahomes was doing early in the season, I feel like he's trying to win the Super Bowl like on every third down. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what they do this week.
Ryan, one of the games interesting for me, it'd be the final game, Sunbelt Conference Championship game. For Billy Napier, who's done an unbelievable job with the Raging Cajuns. They play App State, and Appalachian State has been a tough out in recent years. You know, your thoughts on Raging Cajuns going up against Appalachian State?
And with him obviously leaving to go to Florida.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the hire. I don't have a bone to pick with you guys. I'll always love you guys. As I said, Mike, I've been a big fan for years.
Thank you,
but
brother.
You guys stole my head coach from me. I am a huge Notre Dame fan, and Brian Kelly, I'm going to miss him. I don't like the way that it ends. But, I think all the coaching hires, I think everybody got it right, to be quite honest with you guys. Now, I'm going to give Lincoln Riley a hard time and say that he's avoiding the SEC and he's scared. But if he turns around that program and use race, you already see what he's doing with the recruits, I think he's going to be just fine. Going back to the Raging Cajuns, played them immediately. It was the first game that I played as far as these conference championship games and everything coming up this weekend. If you look at the early meeting and it's any indication what we're going to see, they should dominate this game, right? Look at the offensive.
Yep, that's what I think.
455 yards of offense to just 211 in a 41-13 victory. I know you could say revenge, and you could say it's hard to beat the same team twice and put up the same numbers. I'm not buying it, guys. I'm taking them. I love that it's pretty much a pick, and I'm getting under a field goal. And I think that they're going to put up about 500 yards of offense in this game. So I'm playing the Raging Cajuns.
Are you surprised at the number with Alabama and Georgia? And I know Alabama's always going to get money on their side, but it's 6.5 at this stage. And, you know, Georgia's defense has played great. Alabama's defense really played well last week, but, man, offensively, they got nothing going until late. And they got to almost get help. Bigsby not running or falling before he goes out of bounds gave them that opportunity. Your thoughts on Georgia-Alabama? Because, boy, that's a lot of weight Georgia's carrying from the fact that, man, Alabama's been a pain in the backside to them. And Kirby almost like, okay, I got to win this game, understanding what's at stake.
Yeah, because Ryan, they're tired of hearing it in Georgia. Listen, I was in Atlanta in Alpharetta, about 70 miles from Athens. They're tired of talking about Herschel Walker and Bug Ballou in 1980.
No, I know.
Well, they're getting in no matter what, but I get you.
No, I mean, you know it, man. And Jake Fromm should have won him a national title a couple years back. So here's the thing with this game, and I know this is – I feel like if Kirby's ever going to win one, I feel like it has to be this
year.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
You know, and if you look at the SEC, you know, I think all these teams, everybody's only going to continue to get better. And now, and if you look at their class that's coming in, they're only going to get better as well. But I just feel like this has to be the year with that defense. And I don't feel – but here's the thing. So I did take Bama. I took the points with Alabama, and I bought myself a 6.5, and I think there's even going to be a 7 available. we follow these numbers all season long. And all season long, you know, I've been taking a look at Georgia, and I've kind of been rooting for him. I do want Kirby finally to get over the hump because, again, he could recruit, but we've just seen it in these big game situations. I feel like he always makes that big mistake that costs him in the long run. I don't know if he's going to have to do, you know, I don't think it's going to come down to that this year. We'll see. I took the points with Bama because, like I told you guys, I don't bet against Nick Saban, and I don't bet against Bill Belichick, and I feel like it's been a pretty, you know, lucrative way of going about business here since I started betting.
You'd have made a lot of money doing that. You'd have made a ton of money doing it. One of the games this weekend, Ryan, that's interesting for me is Dolphins-Giants, because, man, the Dolphins all of a sudden now.
No, they play well the last two games.
They're playing pretty good football. I mean, the Giants won. You would figure the Eagles would pull a stinker against them, but they knew how to play the read option. Well, the Saints are still trying to figure that one out. But, you know, the Dolphins here, there's a football team that's playing good on defense. Tua's got a little bit going for him there, playing with a little bit of confidence. I'm interested in your thoughts on, you know, to me, the Giants, and I know they beat the Saints early in the year, but they, to me, are such a mercurial football team all over the board. And you're playing a hot team in Miami.
I know, and this is where I hate playing the numbers because the first bet, it's funny that we go to this one because the first bet that I made in the NFL this week was the New York Giants for the consecutive straight week. And you look at them as 4-point dogs, and that's why I took it with the number right there. But that's a great point about Miami. I've loved everything that they've done these last couple weeks because I am a Brian Flores fan. And I know that it's, like, he's never going to have Patrick Mahomes' arm strength. But I love Tua, and if you look at the numbers, he's one of the more accurate, if not, he's top five in accuracy numbers, you know, if you're a pro football focused guy. And, you know, I still believe in Tua. Now, does he have to be in the right system? Probably. Does he need the weapons like he had at Alabama?
Yep.
I really love Jalen Waddle. I'm not done with Tua yet, you guys. Now, again, you know, I know that there's the people, if you could get yourself a Deshaun Watson, you got to do so. I still think Tua could be a starter in this league. All that being said, I took the points with the Giants. They're not a good football team. I just look at that 4, and it's the key number that I was looking for. And I'm going to play that spot in this one. But I don't love it, especially with Daniel Jones. Here's one thing I will say, though. Daniel Jones' home road splits are crazy, you guys. On the road, you know, if you look at the numbers, he's a serviceable NFL quarterback. At home, he's one of the worst historically. It doesn't
he's
make any
terrible
sense.
He's terrible at home.
He's a road warrior.
He's a road warrior, yeah. So we're taking the Giants plus the points. What could go wrong?
Now, Ryan, I know I just want your opinion on this. This is not placing any coin because, you know, America's team, the Dallas Cowgirls and all that, and where they're at. And I think Jerry Jones might sell his soul to the devil if he could. He'd even give up a couple of $1 billion if he could get another Super Bowl win. But I thought it was interesting that when you look since Sean Payton, and even before that, because it's almost a quarter of a century, you know, the Saints in Dallas has played 13 times, and the Saints have won 10. 10 out of 13.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when the Cowgirl fans want to talk smack to a Who Dat Nation fan and what have you done for me lately, what are they talking about? I mean, the Saints have put a whooping on them because that's a quarter of a century. That's not even a decade. That's a long time the Saints have been able to handle Dallas.
No, and it's not even just you guys, you know, and that's the funny thing about Dallas fans, and they want to call themselves America's team, and it's funny because, like, you know, there's Dallas fans all over the place. Like, I just moved to D.C.,
right.
And I came from Milwaukee. But so, guys, I'm a diehard Packer fan, and every year is their year, as you know, and nothing makes, like, my greatest joys in life. I even made the trip. Aaron Rodgers going to Jerry's World and ripping their hearts out or watching you guys beat up, and I'll tell you why. You know, and it's usually a coaching advantage. You know, for years it was Jason Garrett against Sean Payton. I mean, like, that's like stealing lunch money right there. Now, you know, I just, guys, if I could get one matchup, I know everybody wants to see Brady Belichick part two in the Super Bowl. I do not. I want to see in the NFL playoffs this year, give me Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys against Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers.
I would like to see that, too.
I need to see that, you guys.
I know where my money would be, too.
We'll pan some.
I know where my money would go, Ryan.
I'd have to go with LaFleur.
Yeah. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, bud. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Appreciate it. That was Ryan Horvat, host of Bet MGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting. Be sure to listen to the Bet MGM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tonight podcast for more of Ryan Horvath's analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you can find podcasts. Coming up next, it's Deuce right here on the Big 870. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're joined on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem, fellas. How you guys doing?
All right. Deuce, right off the bat, before we get into Saints questions, you're feeling on Brian Kelly headed to LSU?
I like Coach Kelly. You know, the only thing that you could probably say if you're looking for something to kind of say is he hasn't won in the South. And he hadn't had success with Notre Dame when they got into the playoffs. That's the only bad thing you can say. I mean, and that's just you looking for something bad to say, because he has taken not only from Cincinnati to turning that program around to obviously turning Notre Dame around. And when you talk about being able to recruit, look at the classes that they've signed. Look at the classes that they've been able to sign, and look at the current class that Notre Dame has. And, you know, I won't say that's all Coach Kelly, but that's the staff and himself and what they have been able to do. So I thought that was a pretty good hire for sure.
Deuce, the other thing, too, is to pull from the fertile grounds of Louisiana and Mississippi and Texas and the Florida Panhandle. Compare that to, you know, pulling from Indiana. Now, again, I know they're a national recruit team, but when you look per capita, what Louisiana and Mississippi and Texas and Florida puts out every year, man, he's getting, from the skill standpoint at wide receiver, running back, in the defensive secondary at linebacker, man, a much different group of guys than what he's pulling from Indiana. Now, you get the big guys.
No, you get the big guys. That's what it might help, Deuce. Do you think he could entice the Midwest linemen to come to LSU?
Well, I think it's Coach Hawk was the one, and he coached up at Chicago as well. He was a Coach Hudson Hawk, I think it was his last name. But anyway, he was the one that definitely helped with the offensive lineman. But what is it? It was Tillery, isn't it? Tillery that played at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he went to Evangel Christian in Shreveport.
From Shreveport. I mean, so he's pulled from Louisiana.
Yeah, no question.
The thing that you have to do if you are the head coach at LSU, all right, I want the top 15 guys. I want the top 20 guys. I want to be a little greedy. Let me protect Louisiana with the top 15 to 18 guys every year, year in and year out. And now the transfer portal has changed some things. That's changed how you recruit going forward. And in my opinion, it makes it tougher on the high school kids. I mean, because now more coaches will say, particularly if they're in some trouble, I don't necessarily have to wait on the development of a high school player when I can go get a young man that I know I can play for 2 years. He's got a proven track record in college. And I think that's where the transfer portal hurts the high school kids. But there is enough top-end talent where I can recruit from a four-star standpoint for nothing but that's all I want. Four-star and above.
Now, Deuce, to look at the Saints right now, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this, because we get kind of spoiled on the Sean Payton and when Drew Brees at the helm. Back-to-back games, when you look at it, prime time, because you look any time like Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, that is prime time, and a significant underdog. What was the Bills, like 6.5? Now it's 4.5 with Dallas. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, are you surprised with that, or you think it's about right?
Probably about right, Bobby. I mean, the question comes down to who's healthy.
Yep.
I mean, if you've got as many Pro Bowler and All Pros out like we do, it's about right.
Deuce, the other thing too is in playing this game, and I hate to compare a young guy to somebody who's elite. But, man, watching Micah Parsons play for the Cowboys, and a lot of people have compared him to LT. Now, again, you kind of jumping the gun there. But, man, you watch that guy coming off the edge and the Saints maybe are not playing this game with both starting tackles. Good gracious. You better get a hat on a hat and an extra hat on that guy the way he can cut the edge and get pressure.
Deuce, I'm elaborating on that, and I want you to comment on Micah Parsons because I'm looking at, boy, talk about hot. You know, you can get hot in September, October, November. In November, he has 6.5 sacks in 4 games, and he has, for the season, 15 tackles for a loss. We all love DeMario Davis, double D. He has 10. So here's a rookie. Look at that impact what Micah Parsons has done for Dallas.
Yeah, but Bobby, when you compare him to DeMario, even though he's listed as a linebacker,
right.
He's really a
defensive
pass
end. He's played defensive end, you know, pretty much since all their guys got hurt. When you talk about D. Lawrence and Gregory, when all those guys got hurt, they allowed him to just play pretty much strictly defensive end, even though he's an off the ball outside linebacker. I mean, that just tells you how talented he is. Technically, they drafted him to be an outside linebacker, and they knew that he had the skill set to be able to be a guy that could rush the passer. But I would be honest. I don't think that they figured he would be this good this early as a pass rusher. I mean, he's just been phenomenal, and he's going to be a problem to come, you know, not only tomorrow night, but he's going to be somebody to deal with, or we're going to have to deal with, or teams are going to have to deal with, you know, as long as he's in the NFL.
Now, Deuce, obviously you got to influence Dak Prescott. You got to get pressure on him, and we don't necessarily have all hands on deck. But I thought this was interesting. I'm looking at Dallas, top 5 teams in this season to have 4 different players to reach 100 receiving yards in a game. So you might say, oh, we got to stop CeeDee Lamb. Oh, we got to stop Amari Cooper. I'm looking at they have 4 receivers. Amari Cooper has 2 games. CeeDee Lamb has 3, Michael Gallup has 1, and Cedric Wilson, they all have over 100 yards. So I think that's going to be a challenge for our secondary. Now, the best pass coverage or pass rush, but well, what is your take that when you considered amongst the best as far as your receiving core and the challenges that you face there?
There's not one guy that he leans on, and I think that makes it really, really hard because you can normally – give help, whether it's cloud coverage or, you know, have the influence with the safety kind of taking a guy away. But, Bobby, I think also what makes them so challenging is the tight end is really good. He's a really good pass receiver as well. And so you would say, all right, Lattimore, you eliminate one. But when you do that, they still have 2 other guys, 3 other guys that you kind of have to worry about and kind of say, I don't know if we can take this guy away.
One of the things, Deuce, having watched the Cowboys, other than game one, which, you know, playing against Tampa, you ain't running the football very well against them. Man, the guy's the difference maker on that football team is CeeDee Lamb. Man, he's scared the bejesus out of you. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's not your typical, these big, tall, physical receiver. You know, he's long, lengthy, he's rail thin, but man, he can come up with some big catches. And then after the catch, he's dangerous. Man, he can put his foot in the ground, and then he's off to the tracks after that. Getting him back in the lineup and healthy, I think, is a big addition to the Cowboys. We've seen his big play skills, and I think Dak, man, you can see he looks for him in certain down and distance situations, understanding that CeeDee's going to get open downfield.
Well, and Deuce, along those lines, like Mike's saying, okay, Lattimore, we wanted to step up. I don't think he didn't necessarily step up against Diggs. But we know he's capable, very capable of doing that. But a lot of pressure to me on Bradley Roby and Paulson Adebo, who they got to cover also.
No, I agree 100%. And, you know, and even you know, you talk about CeeDee Lamb missing last week just because he had the concussion. And what's interesting is they're going to lean on my mind is drawing a blank, the other receiver.
Oh, Amari Cooper?
No, Cooper. And Cooper, you know, has missed 2 games. And you know, what's interesting –
No, Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup.
But here's the thing with Coop.
Because
Coop
Cedric's going to be out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, but Coop hadn't practiced.
Yeah.
Coop, you know, everything that they've done is pretty much because they have been in high intensity for COVID. They had a walkthrough. I mean, so it's not like he has actually practiced, and you talked about timing with a receiver. And, Bobby, you know this.
Right.
A guy has missed 10 days, 2 weeks. You're going to lose a little bit of timing. And so I'll be interested to see how much he could affect the game as far as tomorrow is concerned. But, I mean, for the Saints, it's your back's against the wall. There is really nowhere else for you to run or move with, you know, having to go out there and compete. And, you know, I'm hoping we get some healthy guys, but obviously you want their best foot forward as well.
Now, you know, Deuce, this is highly unusual this day and age. You look the way the rules are, and, you know, you'd expect the game maybe in the 20s. But the last two times we played them in 18-19, the score is like 12-10, 13-10. What is this, the 1960s, 70s?
So bet the under, right, Abraham? I mean,
yeah, that 47.5, I'm like looking at, do you expect that type of game that it might be in the teens?
And if I remember, you're talking about pretty good quarterback play. You right. had some guys that are injured the last two times, but, you know, right now I don't see the 47. You know, I don't see the total of 47.
I agree with you.
Not how we're playing.
Nope.
You may surprise me completely and show me some difference, but I have to see it before I say, yeah, they're going to go out there and score 35 points.
Well, Deuce, as we let you go, don't you think our defense, come on, we got to play great. We can't just be good, very good. Our defense needs to be great. That's my opinion.
That's our only shot, Bobby.
Thank you, Deuce.
I agree, Deuce.
Appreciate it, bud. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break on the Big 870. Finishing up here in hour number one of sports talk here on the Big 870. Jarrett Russell will join us, talk about Brian Kelly at 5:10 tonight. And Bob, man, how about the Pelicans have won 3 out of the last 4 games, man? It's not sorry, at least so far, in the last 4 games.
Just before Zion comes on board.
So, I mean, man, so, listen.
Now, Mike, is this
they played the Mavericks tonight.
Is this a rumor?
That's a rumor, so don't say it.
But that text, don't say
don't
it.
Don't say okay. it. Don't say
so
it.
So you saw what I was
saying. I saw what you saw. It has not. That's not
That's not confirmed.
Confirmed. That's
okay.
not
All
confirmed.
Right. So I'm not going to say it. Oh, no.
You're trying to break news. But that's not accurate.
No, I don't know. This text is trying to break news. Yeah, well, I'm not trying to break news.
I'm not biting on that apple. But we'll have a lot more talking about certainly the Saints playing the Cowboys, and certainly Brian Kelly, who's the big story. Man, I can't tell you how many shows this morning. Everybody's wanting to talk about Kelly to LSU.
The bottom line, Cowgirl fans cannot talk smack. A quarter of a century, that's a big enough sample size. A quarter of a century, they played 13 times. The Saints have won 10. What? I mean, Jerry Jones is selling his soul to the devil to win the damn Super Bowl.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.